This is show Pure Decking, show number 350 for Thursday, May the 23rd, 2017. No, wait, 2020, right. Anyways, this is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and enjoying the scam calls, because at least it's not work calling me. I'm Morps, and tonight I'm joined by Madman. What is up, Madman?
I've been listening to our media crap over the Australian elections, and drinking beer. I didn't know a small country, part of the South, really affected my country, but apparently it does.
Well, you know, anything, it's a nice break from, you know, Trump mania.
Oh, they're still discussing that. Orange hair bad.
Orange band bad. Orange band bad. And are you? What is up, are you?
I've been enjoying listening to the world's media crap on my state and call us the Trumpenites of the west of this hemisphere.
Nice.
It is great. Yeah, it feels good to be hated. I never knew how good it felt to be a deplorable.
It's very liberating, isn't it?
It is, man. The shackles just feel off. You know what I mean? There's a freedom in being hated this much. And I, for one, am enjoying it.
I like what Rainer in the IRC says. The Trump train never stops. Now I want to see somebody Photoshop one of the Thomas the Tank tank memes. Thomas the Train memes. Thomas
I
the
have
tank,
seen
with Trump's
Thomas
face
the
on
Trump
it.
Engine.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that's what I want to Trump see. Engine. I'm sure somebody's done it, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen it somewhere.
I need to find that meme. Speaking of the IRC, tonight we have myself, Cykros, DPView, Iron Angel, Madman, Rainer, and Sardonyx with an underscore, who is strangely not a channel admin. we might have an imposter.
It ain't me.
So, and if anybody's wondering, I did in fact pick up another bottle of the Knob Creek Single Barrel, because that stuff is tasty. Madman, what kind of beer were you drinking?
I'm drinking Sam Adams Summer Ale.
Okay.
Very citrusy.
And are you? I'm afraid to ask.
I'm just plain old water today. Deplorable, shitty Queensland water.
Well,
it'll turn you conservative.
At least it's not turning the frogs gay, right?
Yep.
So, although, nah, never mind. I was going to start playing the Alex Jones thing because I haven't played that in a couple of weeks. But
actually, I just want to get this off my chest. Did anyone see Nancy Pelosi give her speech yesterday?
Yes.
I tend to avoid those.
Did anyone know the comedian that uses the puppets and he has the Ahmed puppet?
Yep.
She fucking looked like that Ahmed puppet last night. I shit you not. Like, it's all Skeletor looking, one eye going one way, the other going the other way. She reminds me of a drunk, the way she moves, like really rigid movement of an alcoholic who just had enough drinks to be functional.
There was a really fun meme somebody made of Hillary Clinton during the election with one of his puppets, because I guess she smiled like his puppet does on one of them. And so they photoshopped her eye, you know, swinging off, one of them swinging off the other way and coming back to kind of match
nice.
It. And it was, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Hillary Clinton, but I mean, that was fucking funny. So,
yeah, it's really fucking disturbing to look at her. Like, there's a challenge, fap to that.
Well, there's a reason politics is known as show business for the ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can find a way. I'm not sure I want to try, but I'm certain there's a way.
There's a deep fake out there, Madman. You know it.
No, but does that count to fapping to that?
Tom Thomas, Mr. President.
Thank you. I didn't know how to get out of that.
This is a picture of Aquaman.
Thank you. I didn't know how to undo what I started.
Well, speaking of things that we're probably not going to figure out how to get out of, this article is from CNET. Redditor allowed to stay anonymous, the court rules. Oh, fuck. Online free speech has been given a victory with a federal court ruling that a Redditor can remain anonymous in a copyright lawsuit. This means that anyone from around the globe who posts on Reddit can still rely on First Amendment protections for anonymous free speech because Reddit is a U.S. platform with U.S. audience. The Electronic Frontier Foundation fought on behalf of Reddit commenter Dark Spliver, a Jehovah's Witness who posted public and internal documents from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society online. So he's a member of that church, and he just scanned a bunch of stuff in and posted it. The Watchtower subpoenaed... Oh, fuck. Okay. I see why they let him say anonymous.
He's the Salt Lake Ed Snowden.
The electronic... where we go? Watchtower subpoenaed Reddit to provide identity information on Dark Spiver for the court case, but the EFF filed a motion to quash this, citing deep concerns that disclosure of their identity would cause them to be disfellowshipped by their community. Yeah, I mean, with the heavy religious communities, being shunned is a real thing. So, in February 2019, Dark Spiver posted an advertisement by the Jehovah's Witness organization that asked for donations, as well as a chart showing what the what personal data the organization keeps. Watchtower said both of these were copyrighted items. The Redditor argued it was fair use because he posted the ad for commentary and criticism purposes. The chart was posted to provide information to people in the Jehovah's Witness community about the type of information the organization actually stores and what it does with that information, Dark Spliver said. The court said the copyright case is sharply in Dark Spliver's favor, but that if Watchtower wanted to press forward with the lawsuit anyway, it must do so against the Dark Spliver pseudonym. Watchtower's counsel is allowed to discover Dark Spliver's identity under an attorney's eyes only restriction. Okay, so the court knows who this guy is. The other attorney knows who this guy is, but they're not supposed to actually tell the Watchtower counsel. Yeah.
The Watchtower Council knows the Watchtower client does not.
Right, there you go. And that's because even if, you know, they find him innocent of copyright infringement, I mean, you know, they're going to find this guy suicided himself, right? I mean,
yeah, they don't care about the copyright infringement. They just want this guy so they can out him and then shun him.
I like what DPView said in the chat. In this next case, XXX69 Pussy Slayer versus the U.S. government. Nice.
I'm fucking doing that.
Yeah, I can start seeing all these Xbox Live style usernames start showing up in court documents. That'd be hilarious. Just because the poor court reporter that has to type that shit over and over again. And then the 12-year-old over in the corner, no, you got it capitalized wrong, and you got to misspell pussy.
You have to use the weird symbol that looks like you, but it's not.
I want to change my name to Iridescent Farm Worker. And if anyone could get the joke like Morphs just did, that would be great.
Reddit, the self-described front page of the internet, was founded in 2015 and is one of the most visited sites in the world. Currently, it's sitting in fifth place behind Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Amazon, but ahead of Wikipedia, Twitter, Instagram, Netflix, LinkedIn, and Yahoo. I didn't know Yahoo was still in those rankings. Well, I guess
Yahoo's not
system.
A thing. Yahoo likes to think they're a thing.
Well, a lot of people probably still use Yahoo Mail just out of nostalgia.
Boomers.
That for a while they were the only way to buy Yahweh stock in the U.S. Not Yahweh. What's the crap?
Huawei.
The Amazon for Asia.
Oh,
Alibaba.
Alibaba. They were the only way to buy Alibaba stock in the U.S. for a while.
Yeah. So, On Reddit, there are highly personal topics that discussed in a real and straightforward way because of the protection that anonymity allows, including frank opinion sharing about social and religious organizations. A Reddit spokesperson said, "We support the Electronic Frontier Foundation in their defense and of our users' right to anonymous speech." Yeah, I you know what's not in this article? Did Reddit give EFF any fucking money? They should.
Also, too, they're only allowing anonymous until a Wall Street Journal publishes a hit piece on them, yeah. And they'll oust anyone because they don't want the press. That's what it is. Like, you can get away with anything on YouTube as long as nobody writes about it or a blue check mark doesn't Twitter about it.
So, I mean, I think this is fun, but at the same point, I mean, you see what they're doing here is that they know damn well that the church doesn't really care if they win that copyright complaint or not. They just want to figure out who this kid is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the real root of it.
Yeah. So,
at the end of the day, they believe in a magic underwear cult.
So, unfortunately, this isn't that the court has recognized that, you know, online pseudonyms and personalities are a thing and that, you know, people are posting with this with the idea that they're going to remain anonymous and that this is how these community. No, they're doing it because they realized that this is a religious organization and that, you know, if this kid's name gets out there, they're going to hang his ass and call it suicide.
But not giving credit for publishing documents, as long as it was relevant to within the conversation he was having on Reddit. Don't just dump the church's dirty laundry out onto the internet. That's not cool.
So Rainer,
unless they're abusing someone.
Yeah, Rainer is saying the whole thing could have been avoided with a little OPSEC because somehow Reddit knows who the person behind the post, the pseudonym is. Probably true, but if you think about it, most people probably aren't considering that they need to go through a VPN to make Reddit posts. He probably used a real email address to set up the account. I agree that you could have done a little bit of OPSEC with this, but I can easily see how Reddit knows who this kid is. If nothing else, just from the IP addresses that are posting the links, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, don't.
Or at least get close enough with that. You know, you get the kid's family. Which, again, you know, considering how these churches are, if they even get the kid's family, you know, maybe they're not telling the church, but they're telling his parents, that could be as good as.
Well, the parents will have to shun him as well.
Yeah.
You get ousted, man. You're out. You lose your family. You lose your life, your livelihood. He's probably tied in with the church and his employment.
But with shunning, there's generally a way out of it. So he'll have to do whatever it takes to redeem himself in the eyes of the church.
And I am making an assumption that it's a kid. It may not be. It might be somebody who's older, but... It seems like a kid, you know?
I'd say he's probably within 25 to 35.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, could be.
Like, because these are internal documents of the church that he's posting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you going to get hold of that unless your parents or you are in that position?
Depending on what it is, it might not be secret to members of the church, and the age in which you become a full-fledged member of the church hasn't necessarily kept up with the 20th century consideration of adulthood.
Oh, okay, I'm following you, madman. Yep,
you can go into confirmation as a Catholic before you're 18.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when you become an adult in the eyes of that church.
See, I was thinking teenager, right? Because they're grabbing internal documents from the church and posting them on Reddit. Well, I mean, yeah, I use Reddit, and I'm not a teenager anymore. But, I mean, that's mostly what you see on Reddit is, you know, college kids and, you know, stuff. And you do see the occasional subreddit that's got more older, you know, more users who are older, more mature. You know,
this
less,
is something I want us.
College.
I want us to start. Stop using the word college kid. If you're in college, you're an adult. You're responsible for your actions.
No, I worked at one of those. Those are not adults. I don't know what they are. No,
but I know. But in the eyes of the law, and maybe they need to be seen as adults. Yeah, maybe it stops on this douchebaggery.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. I don't disagree with the sentiment of what you're saying. I'm just telling you, from what I saw,
yeah,
they're not adults. They should be, but they're not.
Yeah. I mean, being edgy, getting shunned, maybe just didn't think about it. I don't want to see this kid get wrecked. But in saying that, he should be more careful with religion.
Or
I think they would have taught him that.
Yeah.
Unless he's just been an edgelord. Maybe religion's not for him. Then.
Go ahead, man. But,
yeah. I'm wondering what was actually contained in that the church doesn't want out.
I don't know that it'd be anything that bad other than just maybe the fact that they're tracking a lot of information about their members, which I think everybody kind of knew the Mormon church was doing that.
Oh, no, these weren't Mormons.
Jehovah's Witnesses. You're right.
Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I do know churches are kind of iffy about membership rolls going out, you know, ever since the Nazis and the Soviet Union used those to murder millions upon millions of innocent people. But I don't think the U.S. is going to do that.
My bad. I thought he was a Mormon. I didn't know.
You should read the book It Can't Happen Here, Madman, just saying.
I know it can happen anywhere, and that's one reason we have guns.
True.
I have a pointy stick.
Well, don't tell your government about it. They might get upset.
As I said, I haven't picked the hill I'm going to die on yet, but I can see all the choices from here.
I don't know. The one over to the right kind of looks good. There's a tree on that one. It might be peaceful in a few years, you know. It's not
kinda
in prime
pretty.
Real estate, so it's not going to get bulldozed. Let's go on to this next article. Let's see. This one is from the BBC. Huawei ARM memo tells staff to stop working with China's tech giant. UK-based chip designer ARM has told staff it must suspend business with Huawei, according to internal documents obtained by the BBC. ARM instructed employees to halt all active contracts, support entitlements, and any pending engagement with Huawei and its subsidiaries to comply with a recent U.S. trade clampdown. ARM's designs form the basis of most mobile device processors worldwide. In a company memo, it said the designs contained U.S. origin technology. As a consequence, it believes it is affected by the Trump's administration ban. The Trump administration's ban. One analyst described the move, if it became long-term, as an insurmountable blow to Huawei's business. He said it would greatly affect the firm's ability to develop its own chips, many of which are currently built with ARM's underlying technology, for which it pays a license. These are then used in the Chinese company's 5G base stations and computer servers in addition to its smartphones. Cambridge-headquartered ARM has been described as the UK's largest tech firm until its takeover by a Japanese fund. It employs 6,000 workers and lists 8 offices in the United States. In a statement on Wednesday, it said ARM is complying with the latest restrictions set forth by the U.S. government and is having ongoing conversations with the appropriate U.S. government agencies to ensure we can remain compliant. ARM values its relationship with our longtime partner, HiSilicon, and we are hopeful for a swift resolution on the matter. Huawei has issued a brief statement of its own. We value our close relationship with our partners, but recognize the pressure some of them are under as a result of politically motivated decisions, it said. We're confident this regrettable situation can be resolved, and our priority remains to continue to deliver world-class technology. I cannot read tonight, or speak, rather.
Booze.
Need more of it. And products to our customers around the world. ARM is a chip designer founded in 1990, September 2006, acquired by Japanese telecom giant SoftBank, but remains based in Cambridge, UK. ARM does not manufacture computer processors itself, but rather licenses its semiconductor technologies to others. So they design them and then let other people who actually have chip fabs create the final chips. In some cases, manufacturers only license ARM architecture or instruction sets, which determine how processors handle commands. This option gives chipmakers greater freedom to customize their own designs. In other cases, manufacturers license ARM processor core designs, which describes how the chip's transistors should be arranged. These blueprints still need to be combined with other elements, such as memory and radios, to create what is referred to as a system on a chip. As a result, when you hear talk of a device being powered by a Samsung, Exynos, Qualcomm, Snapdragon, or Apple's A11 chip, or one in a Huawei smartphone, it is still ARM's technology that is involved. ARM's U.S. headquarters are in San Jose, California, and the firm has offices in Washington, Arizona, blah, 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 blah. So, basically, ARM is cutting off ties with Huawei because they're complying with the government. And everybody's like, oh no, what's Huawei going to do for chips? Well, I tell you what they're going to do for chips. They're going to keep using ARM designs anyways because they're the Chinese government, and the Chinese government really doesn't give much of a toss about intellectual, you know, property law from other, you know, from foreign entities. That's what's going to happen. Ultimately, yeah. Is they're still going to make the chips, and they're just
Yahweh
not going to pay the
started,
license,
isn't it?
Huh?
That's how Yahweh got started, isn't it?
Yeah, they were cloning Cisco boards.
Yeah.
So now the other thing is, because ARM is no longer going to get licenses from Huawei, that's. And ARM isn't the only company in this situation. There's actually several companies that can no longer sell component parts to Huawei, technology licenses. It's going to hurt other companies too, not just Huawei. ARM's not going to get that licensing fee from Huawei. Qualcomm and Intel and people who sell like radios and memory chips that Huawei uses, they're going to see a hit because Huawei is a big manufacturer. Right, you know, that's not an insignificant amount of business being lost by these companies. So, I think
Huawei will just rebrand.
You know,
I think the bigger hit to Huawei might not be the licensing. Huawei buys a lot of its components for what it puts together from the U.S.
Sure,
we're actually still a very huge exporter of the parts that you need to make the parts that make a computer, and we're not exporting to we're not selling to them anymore.
Oh, Cykros is making fun of me. He thinks I'm saying Yahweh. I'm saying Huawei. I know it's got an H in there. It's pronounced Huawei. At least everyone I've heard pronounce it has said it that way. And you're correct. Yahweh is God, but that's not what I'm saying. Madman, does it sound like I'm saying Yahweh or Huawei?
I'm hearing Huawei.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hearing Huawei.
Oh,
as
no,
well.
They're accusing Madman of saying Yahweh.
I am drunk.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
I didn't mean to call a Chinese chip manufacturer God. And
you got my God chips.
Fairly certain he'll forgive me.
So, you know, everybody's talking about how hard it's going to be on Huawei to replace this crap, but I think you are going to see a pretty big hit against people who were selling them components, like you said. And frankly, it's like with the Android thing where Google's saying, oh, well, we're not going to license Android for Huawei anymore. Well, they're going to fork Android. They're going to make their own version of a Play Store and some of the Google apps. And they're just going to go on in the Chinese market as a, you know, as they always had. And it's like, oh, so we just don't have to pay the Western companies anymore? Okay. Right? I mean, that's ultimately what they're going to do.
I mean, we're going to see prices go up.
We are going to see that, yes.
Yeah, it's whatever you give. If you want to upgrade now, people.
What's going to be a bit of fun is if this actually prevents them from being able to sell equipment to countries who are actually building their telecom networks. Like if England finally says, well, we're just not going to buy Huawei equipment. Or Africa pulls out from buying Huawei equipment.
Oh, Africa won't. Africa won't, dude.
Yeah, there's way China too much Chinese already, investment in Africa.
Yeah, they're already balls deep in that place, man. They're even, crazy.
I'm thinking that's the only thing that's really going to hurt their bottom line.
Well, I know they were trying to make a play for some of the U.S. smartphone market, too. And they had put out some nice phones, apparently. But
yeah. I don't know if their big business is the individual phones or the backbone that actually runs them.
Their big business was going to be the 5G.
Getting into the 5G network.
Yeah, they were going to be like the primary provider of a lot of the modems and stuff like that for 5G. But even then, most of that was actually licensed through Qualcomm. They were just going to be the manufacturer. At least I think it was Qualcomm.
There are so many chip producers now. Oh, I've lost.
Need to bring it back, good old MOS. That was Commodore's chip fab. 6502s, come on. I do have a reason for making jokes about BASIC. I'll get to that for Digital Dojo. Anyways, so let's move on to the next article. This is from Torrent Freak. Namecheap must identify nofile.io registrant following piracy complaint. So file hosting service nofile.io suffered downtime recently. The outage coincided with a subpoena obtained by the RIAA a few days ago, which required Namecheap to expose the domain's registrant. The reason for the RIAA's inquiry is a recent leak of a track from the rapper Tyler, the Creator. I've not listened to any of Tyler, the Creator stuff. Is it, anybody know if it's any good?
I
don't know who he is.
There no clue.
Middle-aged white guys have no clue who this guy is, so must not be a very good. Bad joke. There are hundreds of file hosting services on the internet, each with their own strengths and weaknesses. Nofile is generally known as a no-nonsense service that's free to everybody. The site launched 2 years ago and has been building a steady user base ever since. Recently, however, the site suddenly stopped working and it came back just a few hours ago. And this was posted on the 14th. So, this is a couple weeks ago. The question was why? Here we go. Checking the domain records revealed that the NS records had been removed, which made it impossible to access the site. A search of the U.S. court's records provided some possibly relevant context. It revealed that the music industry group RIAA targeted the site through a DMCA subpoena directed at a nofile domain name registrar Namecheap. The RIAA requested the subpoena at a federal court in Colombia, which was swiftly signed off by a clerk. The paperwork included a letter addressed to Namecheap in which the music group demands detailed information on the customer associated with the file hosting services domain. We have determined that a user of your system or network has infringed our member record company's copyrighted sound recordings, the RIAA letter reads. The website associated with this domain name offers files containing sound recordings which are owned by one or more of our member companies and have not been authorized for this kind of use, including, without limitation, those referenced at the URL below. The URL in question was not just some random piece of music. It pointed to an upload of a leaked track by rapper Tyler, the Creator, entitled Earthquake. E-A-R-F Quake. Ear F Quake? I don't know. The track has been circulating online for roughly a week. It was uploaded to hosting services such as nofile.io and shared online through leakth.is, 4chan, Reddit, and other platforms. Whether nofile.io played a significant role in the distribution is unknown, but it could be the site where it first appeared. In any case, the RIAA would like to find out who's running the site. The music group requests all electronic information that may help identify the account holder, including IP addresses, email, and payment information. As stated in the attached subpoena, you are required to disclose to the RIAA information sufficient to identify the infringer. Well, what if I don't have information sufficient to identify the infringer because they pay in Bitcoin and connect through Latvia? This would include the individual's name, physical address, IP address, cell phone numbers, email address, payment information, account uploads, and account history. You figured out who this guy is?
Yeah, there's one image of him.
Why is that a black man with a pink dress and Lady Gaga hair?
He's a better one.
I obviously am not a maven of fashion. I do not understand what this is.
I am not of fashion either, but I'm just going to pop over to YouTube, keep you on with the story there. And I'm doing it so you don't have to, all right?
He and Lady Gaga must be good friends.
I'm taking the hit.
So.
Okay, it was Earquake. Was that the one he's bitching about?
Yeah, it was Earquake, but there's an F jammed in there.
Oh, yeah, I see it. All right, I'll do it so you don't have to.
Shortly after the subpoena was granted, nofile.io became unreachable. When we started writing the article, it was still offline, but just before publication, it returned. The leaked file the RIAA referenced is, in fact, still there. And they've got a screenshot showing it there. Did they have a link? The actual link? Yeah, there's the whole link is in the article. So it's a picture of it, so I'm still kind of tempted to type it in to see if the file's still there. But then I might download a really bad rap song, and I just don't want that shit on my hard drive. Interestingly, this is the second DMCA subpoena the RIAA has obtained in a short period of time. A little over a week ago, we reported that the group is also going after several pirate sites that use Cloudflare. Now, here's the reason I actually wanted to talk about this article. Both requests use boilerplate language that only require a clerk's signature to become enforceable. This makes it a rather cheap and effective option to find out more about the site owners, so it would be no surprise if we see more of these going forward. Whether the RIAA's main goal is to shut down the site is questionable, though. In this case, the music group was likely more interested in finding out who uploaded the leaked file, if that's the source. So, maybe. But this is, this thing with the Tyler, the Creator, and Nofile. I mean, Nofile can just say, look, we're a file locker. Shoot us a complaint on the file, we'll take it down, because that's just what everybody else does, you know, YouTube, whatever. But this whole boilerplate language that only requires a clerk's signature. They're sending out subpoenas that don't require a judge to look at it because they've got a fucking form letter that somebody in some court somewhere has said is good enough. I think that shit's wrong. You should not have a form letter to send out fucking subpoenas.
No.
And a judge should still have to sign off on them. Come on.
That's the point of a subpoena, is that the court has looked at it and said, you have cause.
And the RIAA might even have cause to go after this site. I don't even care about Nofile and Tyler, the Creator. It sounds like they might even have cause, especially if the track was unreleased at the time. Right? I get that. But make a judge at least look at it and pretend they understand it well enough before they rubber stamp it. So you have somebody in the government you can go back to and say, why did you issue a bogus subpoena? If it's a bogus subpoena. I don't even care if it is. You know what I mean.
Yeah, it's that the legal system is there for a reason. It's to protect people. And if it's not protecting people, why the fuck is it there?
So.
But I wonder, how do you get a form letter adequate enough for a subpoena? And in what jurisdiction is a clerk's signature good enough?
They set it up above. The paperwork's public, right? It's a public record. District of Columbia.
D.C.
D.C.
Okay.
So, the thing's public record, so I guess there's nothing to stop anybody from taking this boilerplate and turning it into a form letter, just figuring out the right parts to turn into, you know, inputs. And it's good enough if a clerk signs it. Maybe they have some prior agreement with the lawyers representing the RIAA, which I could believe, actually, as litigious as they are. But, I mean, still.
Well, even with the litigious as they are, you can't do an agreement. There's actually a law or a statute that has to be put in place for that to work. So it's not just the RIAA can do that. Anyone can do that with the right form. And that's still wrong.
That's terrifying. Because anybody with a Microsoft Word template can start issuing subpoenas through this thing. So I guess that would be the way to combat this and get the courts to fix it, would be just to issue so many, you know, bullshit, superfluous, you know, time-wasting things that all they got to do is have a clerk sign off on, which, of course, is why they have it set up that a clerk can sign off on it, because it's like the judge is like, you're wasting my time. Here, let's do it this way. But
in saying, I've never really heard any Lady Gaga, but I think this is the blackmail version of Lady Gaga, and it's a no from me. I'm passing.
Yeah, she's standard issue pop. I mean, she's not a terrible singer, but
yeah, it's just auto-tuned black guy in a weird dress and wig.
Yeah, that's Lady Gaga. That's wait, well, I don't know about the black guy part, but
yeah, but it's a no from me.
So, looks like the IRC is going through splits. I keep seeing people drop and rejoin. So, good old Freenode. I didn't keep up the story. I thought about doing the story this week, but I didn't think it was. Mozilla actually shut their IRC server down this week.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're starting to see more. You're starting to see people wanting to move away from IRC onto things like, you know, Twitter and.
Fuck that, man. Can't get banned in IRC.
Well, you can, but it's just that IP or that handle. It's usually easy enough to get around, but.
Exactly. That's crazy.
So DPView says everybody's going for Discord, which.
Fuck Discord. Everybody talking about Discord, and everybody complains about it.
Well, the thing about it that I don't like about it is that Discord and Slack aren't open protocols. Like, I can't. I mean, I guess I can if I, you know, it still goes through their service. I can't set up a completely independent Discord server or a completely independent Slack server. Well, you can do Slack servers, but you got to pay out the balls for it. If I want to, I mean, I can do an internal Slack server, but you got to license that. You got to get it from them. It still goes through their system. Same thing with Discord, right? You can set up a Discord server, but it's still all hooked back into the Discord system. It's not independent. Yeah, I could download an IRC server, put it on a fucking Raspberry Pi, and run it out in the middle of goddamn nowhere off a battery pack, and other people with laptops could still use it.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. As long as you're over the age of 18 and not breaking any fucking laws, they shouldn't be able to strike you from any platform just for speech.
Well,
Matrix.
I'm going to be honest with you.
What is that?
I'm kind of retarded.
That's an open source chat Discord-like platform. I looked at it in the past, possibly replacing TeamSpeak, but the last time I brought up swapping out the chat system, I believe the exact threat was, are you saying over your dead body? So, but,
yeah, I forgot what we were talking about, IRC. No, something else. Well, we're going to another story, and we got sidetracked.
Yeah, we got talking about Mozilla shutting down IRC, but the IRC was looked like they were having a net split because I kept seeing people drop out and reconnect. So, but anyways, back to the article. This is from Vice.com. Snapchat employees abuse data access to spy on users, also known as No Shit Sherlock. I'm doing this story for a reason. Mostly
like
what
the
I'm
Ring
say
doorbell.
About it.
The Ring doorbell. Fuck. And no one saw it coming. No one.
Several departments. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say I never found the data dump of the Ring doorbell thing. I looked for it quite a few days.
Yeah. Several departments inside social media giant Snap have dedicated tools for accessing user data, and multiple employees have abused their privileged access to spy on Snapchat users, Motherboard has learned. Oh, you know there's a SharePoint site inside of Snap where it's like all the hot chick accounts.
Yeah. There's an internal fucking dump in there.
Somewhere. Of all the people who are sending boob pics like that are worth grabbing, you know somebody's doing it.
I wonder what they named it. That's what I want to know.
What code name they gave it?
That'll tell you Yeah, that'll tell you exactly kind of sick faggots working there.
Two former employees said multiple Snap employees abused their access to Snapchat user data several years ago. Those sources, as well as an additional two former employees, a current employee, and a cache of internal company emails obtained by Motherboard. I love this. Internal company emails obtained by Motherboard. Like Motherboard went in and took the server. No, somebody just saved out their PSTs and gave it to you. Described internal tools that allowed Snap employees to access, at the time, to access user data, including, in some cases, location information, their own saved snaps, and personal information such as phone numbers and email addresses. Snaps are photos or videos that, if not saved, typically disappear after being received or after 24 hours if posted to a user's story. Motherboard granted multiple sources in this story anonymity to speak candidly about the internal Snap processes. No, Psychros. I guarantee you it's going to be on user drive E non-replicated non-work. Anyways. Although Snap has introduced strict access controls to user data and takes abuse and user privacy very seriously, according to several sources, the news highlights something that many users may forget. Behind the products that we use every day, there are people who, with access to highly sensitive customer data who need it to perform essential work on the service, but without proper protections in place, those same people could abuse it to spy on users' private information or profiles. One of the internal tools that can access user data is called SnapLion. According to multiple sources and the emails, the tool was originally used to gather information on users in response to a valid law enforcement request, such as a court order or subpoena, two former employees said. But both of the sources said SnapLion is a play on words for the common acronym for law enforcement officer Leo, with one of them adding it's a reference to the cartoon character Leo the Lion. Snap's spam and abuse team has access, according to one of the former employees, and a current employee suggested the tool is used to combat bullying or harassment on the platform by others. An internal Snap email obtained by Motherboard says a department called Customer Ops has access to SnapLion. Security staff also have access. According to a current employee, the existence of this tool has not been previously reported. SnapLion provides the keys to the kingdom, one former employee who describes the abuse of accessing user data said. So, blah, 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 blah. Logging isn't perfect. Not exceptionally rare. So, anyways, nothing terribly surprising here except that, you know, it's all internal. It's all on the back end. There are admins and people who do work who get access to this data. Arguably, they may not need it, but it's actually fairly common when you look at companies and how they work internally, especially on their IT side. People have access to the keys. People have access to the data, especially if they're doing support and, you know, abuse management and security on these platforms, right? They need to be able to see what's going on. It's how they do their job. But that does mean you need to remember when you're using these services that people who work at these companies could see it. And if you're sending, you know, nudes or anything like that, that somebody could see it, decide it's a fun picture and save it in the back end. And it could end up posted somewhere in a future data dump. You know, maybe not even by the company. Maybe the company saved it out for some other reason, right? Maybe they were collecting everything sent through the system for a period of time for troubleshooting or for a subpoena or something. And then later, somebody manages to hack into them and takes it all and dumps it out onto a paste bin or an S3 bucket or God knows what, right? So, generally, my advice on this is if you have something that is truly private, that truly should never get out, that truly you would be embarrassed if somebody knew it happened, don't put it in a phone. I don't care if it's Snapchat, Facebook, text messages, saved. What?
No, put it on your phone. Put all your shit out there. Don't help normies, Morps. Anybody listening to this show already knows this. No, no, we encourage people to put shit on their phones. Fuck them. If you weren't aware that this shit happened internally, you're retarded.
Hey, there were some people that slept through the fappening.
No, they couldn't have been. They definitely didn't sleep through the fappening part two.
I don't know. Was that long ago enough that there were people born using cell phones that weren't alive during the fappening?
It hasn't been that long, has it?
No. Unless you're counting like toddlers. Because, you know, some parents do give their kid the Apple-branded babysitter and call it a day.
Don't do that. It's going to stunt their mind. One of the reasons we're getting dumber as a society.
Well, that and the fact that our education system sucks, but, you know, hey. Be a good little consumer. Don't think for yourself. Go be poor. Anyways.
But, dude, anybody who's worked in IT or knows anybody who works in IT always knows about the secret drive in the server, right?
Well, yeah, somebody has to, you know, check it when it doesn't work and set it up and all that other shit.
Yeah, you got
assholes like me who come in and audit the systems and have to stare at the list of 500 fucking LDAP server connections to figure out what's real and what's not.
All right, so it was only 5 years ago. People may remember it.
But, there's always somewhere on the internal has games and fucking, you know, pirated shit. You deny it all you want.
Oh, sure. Yeah, look for shares called non-work or, you know, Nickelback or...
Stay out of the Nickelback, though.
Yeah, don't watch it. Just when you find it, you know, look at the file sizes. If they're way too large, just delete them. Just don't even... Don't take a chance. Anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, there's a DEF CON video you want to go see.
Yeah, just put Nickelback into Google, then /pregnant. You will find the file. I guarantee you. You'll find the show, the actual video.
Yeah, you'll find the talk or the actual video. I mean, that's bad too. Next article. This one was sent to me by RU. And just, you know.
Tauntauns, Mr. President.
That has replaced rockets now, by the way, if anybody hasn't figured that out.
Awesome.
This is from the BBC. The U.S. city of Baltimore's government, plagued by dysfunction, is now battling a ransomware attack that has crippled its systems for more than 2 weeks and counting. Hackers have breached the Maryland city's servers on the 7th of May and demanded $100,000 worth of Bitcoin. The ransomware has blocked government email accounts and disabled online payments to city departments. Baltimore city officials have so far refused to pay the ransom. Good for you. This is the second cyber attack to strike the city in as many years, and the last one knocked out its emergency dispatch system for about a day. The FBI and the Secret Service are investigating the latest breach. Baltimore Mayor Bernard Jack Young has announced... Has Jack stapled his face back on? I'm just asking for a friend, just curious. Has acknowledged it is unclear whether the systems will be back in operation this time. I know the folks in the technology office are working diligently to bring us back online, said his spokesperson, Lester Davis. Abel Rubin, a cybersecurity expert and computer science professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, estimates conservatively that it'll be months before systems are up and running. It's clear the system was vulnerable, he added. More than 1,500 home sales have been delayed because the hackers left the city unable to notify insurers whether sellers had any unpaid liens. Oh, this is actually getting into real shit. Baltimore this week rolled out a manual workaround to allow real estate transactions to proceed during the outage. But citizens are unable to access online sites to pay their water bills, property taxes, and parking tickets. And 10,000 city government computers are locked, leaving employees with no email. The city said there would be no late fees or fines during the technical shutdown. Yeah, that's what it is. Somebody hacked the city so they wouldn't have to pay their water bill.
Yeah.
In the ransom note obtained by the Baltimore Sun, hackers demanded payment of 3 bitcoins, currently worth about $23,600 per system, or 13 bitcoins for the release of the entire government network. If the city failed to pay within 4 days, the note said, the price would increase. After 10 days, a deadline that lapsed last week, the city would not be able to get the data back. We've watched you for days, and we've worked on your systems to gain full access to your company and bypass all of your protections, the hackers wrote. Company. We won't talk more. And all we want is money. Oh, that's like that video you had for one of the openings of the classic IHN where it was the African guy talking about all this crazy shit he would do because he wanted money.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, these guys aren't fucking around, man. Well, it's back to paperwork, eh?
Yeah, the program called Robinhood makes it impossible to access the servers without a specific digital key. So they're encrypting the hard drives. Professor Rubin said the ransomware uses a publicly available algorithm called RSA to encrypt the data. It's believed that no government has the capability to break it, Professor Rubin said. Without the key held by the hackers, it's as if the Baltimore government just lost everything, he said. Baltimore has contracted computer experts to help. Atlanta, Georgia was hit with a similar breach in 2018. That one was attributed to two Iranians. Local media report. I am fucking up tonight on reading these stories. Madman, when you do IHN, stay away from the Knob Creek, man. Tell you what.
Oh, I've got to buy bourbon.
Oh,
I've got scotch, so okay, I'll be drinking scotch.
They won a 28 grand, right?
Yeah.
What do you reckon the salary of someone who can help them out of a bind like this is?
The like annual salary?
Well, you wouldn't have an annual. That's what I mean. This would be a one-off, you'd be sort of a gun for hire at this sort of shit. And you're going to charge quite a bit to get Baltimore City Council out of the shit. You should have just paid the fucking money.
A consultant, like a two-week engagement from a consultant to deal with this kind of stuff.
That's what I mean. I was just crunching numbers.
You're usually looking at $60,000 to $80,000 for the mid-range. If you're bringing in the guys who really know what's up.
That's what I mean. You'd need a double team. This is 10,000 machines. You know, they're not all in a central place. You know, Oregon, this is the arrogance of somebody in the Baltimore City Council. So I ain't paying that. You ain't extorting me.
Well, partially. I mean, DPVU and the IRC has got the right idea, too. The problem is if you pay these fuckers, they're just going to do it again. Because what will happen is you're taking the easy way out. They give you the key. Your IT staff will go around. And then, well, all the fixes will go into the project plan. We got to get budget for that. We're looking at 2020 for the patching. We're looking at 2021 for the management system. You know, it'll be 2030 by the time they get the thing all patched up. And in the meantime, they'll have to pay 5 or 6 more ransoms, even if it's not from the same guys. It'll be another group saying, hey, Baltimore is easy to hack and they paid. Let's go get them.
Okay, so the 28 grand that they wanted plus work out what the consultancy and the experts would cost. So that's another, say $130,000.
They're
right?
Not getting out of this for less than $1 million. I'll tell you that right now.
Dude, you pay it, you back everything up, and then when it happens again, you just fucking reinstall. Go back to,
As much as people hate it, if you want to know the proper way to run a system like this, you get a file server that does, snapshot on change. NetApp will do it. What's the Dell one?
What do I mean? Like, how do you fuck up this hard as a major city? Like, it could even be years before they get back up and running.
It probably will be, because they have to rebuild everything.
From what I understand, Baltimore City is pretty fucking poor to start with, and they don't have the money for this. This is like Flint's water problem. Yeah, we know it exists, but who gives a shit?
IBM sells a storage system like this. I am blanking on the name of the one that Dell bought. Fuck. Anyways, there are a lot of people out there. I mean, for God's sake, go get FreeNAS. It'll do it. You set up a file server, a big one, that does snapshotting, right? And then you set up a VM farm. You put Citrix on top of that. You put everybody on Citrix workstation. So they're not even working off the local fucking machines. If the local fucking machine gets blown up, who cares? Blow it away, reinstall it. Who cares? There's no data on it. Everything lives on the file server. The file server's doing snapshots. You have somebody fucking monitoring the alerts off that thing. And if you start seeing files get encrypted, you lock out whatever's doing it. They're all virtual machines, so you just kill it and restore from snapshot, and you're done. I've had 3 CryptoLocker incidents at work. And because I've pissed so many people off to get these systems set up, but because we have them, it doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
Did you get any kudos for the three you stopped?
One of them. But the other two, at that point, it was old hat, right? It was more just, why are the users still doing this shit? But it's not a big deal if you set up your system to deal with it because, oh, you've got CryptoLocker malware. It's just like anything else. It's just like a hard drive dying. It's just like an end-user machine getting destroyed, which happens way more often than you would think. It's just like, you know...
Oh, no, they piss me off. I understand how often those things die.
I needed a new iPhone, but you threw your old phone down the stairs. That was an accident. No, it hit the wall. I see the mark on the wall. Yeah, that was an accident.
It learned its lesson, and it will be an example for all future iPhones, which I own. Now give me a new one.
Yeah, that's actually basically what the Army unit is. My favorite is the one where people keep bringing in laptops with cracked screens, and you finally figured out what they were doing. They were putting pins in the hinge between the screen and the laptop, and then forgetting it was there when they went to close it.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, it was just literally cracking the screen or busting the hinge, right? Just depending on where the pin ended up when they were closing it. It's like, what the fuck are you guys doing to these machines? And you finally figure out they're closing it on a pin. The way we figured it out was by taking, you know, one of the pins out of the supply closet, putting it on the keyboard, and seeing that the two spider webs from the screen lined up perfectly with the ends of the ends of the pin. Anyways, you architect your systems to handle with failure. Yeah, it is more expensive up front. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And yeah, you're going to piss people off because they're working off Citrix sessions and they're having to, you know, they have to learn to save all their data on the H drive, not in My Documents. Although even then, you can go in and remount folders on the workstation, so it's not even that big of a deal. Fuck, get an Office 365 account and put it all in OneDrive. Same fucking thing nowadays. Or, you know, Dropbox or Box or I think Google does it too. I don't care. I mean, it's... I'm not bitter. Not bitter at all. you got a point to laugh at this shit, right? It's like, it's not even that hard to deal with, but people still fall for it, so. And I get it. A lot of people are still operating off legacy systems. They don't have the manpower, time, and wherewithal to go re-architect their systems to be resilient. But, you know, that's, okay, fine. This shit's going to happen to you then.
Not necessarily. You speaking of legacy systems, my favorite legacy system is the New York City subway. The majority of it is still being run on equipment from 1918. Hack that shit.
Sure, let me get a magnet. Of course, that hacking that shit would require physical access, so that's how you secure that, is you've got guards down there who see you walking towards it with the big magnet. They're going to shoot you. It's like, what happened?
It's
he was trying to crash
fucking mechanical.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, shit,
like
you build a proper mechanical device.
Shit.
I mean, you got to resort to throwing wooden shoes in those things to deal with mechanical issues, so, you know. Of course, the upside of working off gears and springs is you very rarely have to do a recap, right?
Yeah. The downside is everything else.
So, how do you calibrate the time on that? We put pennies on it. What? We get the weight just right by putting pennies on it. And that is, in fact, how they time Big Ben.
So. We know that there's a train on this line. Somewhere between that light bulb and that light bulb. We have no fucking idea where. We're just hoping it doesn't run into this other train also on that line. And they shouldn't, so long as they're on time.
Last article for today is from Engadget. Lenovo stole a fan's video to promote... Blah, blah, blah. Lenovo stole a fan's video to promote the foldable Moto Razr. Lenovo put a logo on its on renders created by YouTuber Wagar Khan. Yesterday, and this was posted on the 17th, Lenovo shared a promotional video for the rumored foldable Moto Razr. While the 30-second teaser was shared with members of the media during a group interview and was acquired or was accompanied by the Lenovo logo, it appears that the company used a video from a fan and branded it as its own. The footage that was played by Lenovo was actually spliced together from a render created by YouTuber Wadgar Khan. According to Khan, he did not give Lenovo permission to use the concept images that he created. Engadget has reached out to Lenovo and Motorola regarding the video. We'll update the story if we hear back. The clip Lenovo showed to the press yesterday appears to be cut together from a number of renders that was first seen in a video titled Motorola Razr 2019 Introduction and First Look that was uploaded by Khan to YouTube in February 9th of this year. Many of the images in Lenovo's video are identical to those that appear in Khan's. It even looks like Khan's Twitter handle watermark is still present in the footage shared by Lenovo. However, Lenovo's video ends with the company's logo, making it look like an official product. Despite Lenovo's branding appearing in the footage, Khan confirmed that he was not approached by the company regarding the renders. They used it without my permission, he told Engadget via direct message on Twitter. I don't know what's going on, man.
Bad man, stop doing your washing up.
He made a fake video better than the official one.
So they took the official one, put their logo on it, and was presenting it to investors.
Well, somebody in marketing was thinking.
Somebody in marketing was drunk at money? Their desk and said, I need something to YouTube, and just ripped it.
And he was making rendered images of a fake phone that were good enough, like, this is awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, like you see this shit all the time where people do like fan videos of like Nintendo characters or, you know, like the Dorkly channel where they've got all this crazy animated stuff they've done with video game characters, right? It'd be like Nintendo grabbing that and publishing it. Well, they probably wouldn't do that because some of those videos are pretty dark. But that's basically it. I mean, it's like somebody taking somebody's fan video and saying, yeah, we're going to do that and just publishing it.
Well, that means this dude knows their marketing better than they do, or at least knows their product, because he was able to fake a product well enough that they're using it as their official trailer now.
I think Rainer's got it right. This is how to pocket the budget without actually using it. Yeah, that's somebody in marketing doing that.
At least give him a 12-month contract in marketing for Lenovo.
Fuck that. Bring him on as a concept designer or something.
That's what I mean. Give him at least 12 months to prove himself that it wasn't a one-off fluke.
Yeah.
You know, instead of the guy suing the ever-living shit out of him for copyright, negotiate. Give me 12 months at, you know, $90,000.
In other words, you know, you stole the dude's shit, pay him off.
Mm-hmm.
You're Lenovo. You can afford it. Just pay him off. I don't think anybody would be pissed if that was the route you went out of this. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
Like, dude, I'd turn it around and make it a marketing thing. Hey, come up with phone designs for us.
Well, I mean, this guy can probably put it on his resume. You know, I made shit so good Lenovo stole it and said it was their own product.
I mean, like, you can make something out of this. It's not a loss for either person here, the company or the guy.
Yeah. Especially if they can actually make a phone that matches the dude's render, right?
Well, that's what I mean. And, you know, why not get more people? You know, it's a lock. Like, you're not actually going to take customers' fucking ideas, but hey, it gets the customer involved with the company.
Why wouldn't you take the customer's ideas if they've got a good one?
Well, if they've got a good one, yeah, but don't tell them that it was a good one. Just say, you don't want to have to pay everyone out, man. I'm thinking like a company here.
No, you make it like a contest, and they sign over the rights to it when they enter the contest. And look at that. You won a T-shirt and a Starbucks gift card, and we've got our next multi-billion-dollar product. You know?
Yeah, you get a free phone. You know, if your design is the one they go with, hey, here's your free phone.
You'd have a lot of people who would enter and go with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, turn this negative publicity into a win.
All right, let's Let's move on to this. All right. I've got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo, but they're related. And one of them is largely useless without the other. So, are you? Do you remember QBasic?
Basic. Yeah, I know of it. I don't remember using it.
Madman's marked himself as away, or I would ask him the same. I mean, you know, in the computer labs playing Gorillas and Nibbles on QBasic. No?
The are you talking about the Go West? Fucking look for those sort of...
No. It's a programming language. It used to come by default on the old DOS installs.
Yeah, see, I suck at command line shit, dude, so I never really got into that stuff.
Madman, you remember QBasic?
I remember playing Gorillas, yes.
Okay, Gorillas was written in QBasic. A lot of people would figure out how to load QBasic because it came as part of DOS, so they could play Gorillas and Nibbles, you know, in school labs. And, of course, I got into it because I started on a fucking Commodore, and I'm like, oh, it's BASIC. I know this shit. So, and they actually did programming classes in BASIC in high school. So,
that's how you got the perfect banana. You were hacking it.
Multiple times. I'm surprised you never figured that out when
fucking cheater.
Yes, you asked Suave about that with that quick clicker JavaScript game where I sent him a score that was unobtainable. And he spent like a day trying to beat that score because he thought it was just high enough to look realistic. I had changed the multiplier in JavaScript, so I got like 1.2 points instead of just one. Anyways, the reason I'm asking is I found this very, very cool project called QB64. And somebody has re-implemented QBasic in a modern interpreter and extended it with like OpenGL and sound and Windows forms and shit like that. So it's basic. Like you can write programs again in QBasic on a modern machine, Windows, Linux, Mac, and it will compile the executable and everything for you, and it will still run your old-ass QBasic code. So if you still have, you know, old programs that you wrote in QBasic 20 years ago, you could load them into this and they would run. And I know this because I put this on my laptop earlier today and played fucking Gorillas and Nibbles. On a Linux laptop.
I get a game for everyone in the IRC for next week. Every time Morse either mentions 3D printing or a Commodore 64, drink.
They'll all be dead. Like, I mean, that's just a death sentence. So, the second thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is a link to the wiki book about QBasic. So that if you wanted to use the interpreter and write your own programs, here's a language reference. At least to the old school stuff. You have to hit the help on the new QB64 for like the OpenGL commands and stuff like that. But anyways, I thought this was awesome. Nostalgic as hell. And obviously I've got the wrong crowd on tonight to talk about how awesome this is. Static would be losing his mind over this right now.
I want to ask questions, but I don't want to seem ignorant.
Go ahead. It's fine.
No. I'll do it after the show.
But, yeah, I'll do it on the show. It's all good.
Fuck that, man.
Gorillas.
It's a 20-year-old programming language based off 80s computers. You're not going to sound ignorant.
I never wrote programs or anything like that. I sucked at it. But I could get in around all the passwords and stuff like that in the school labs.
Sure.
And into the actual directories of the office and stuff like that. Is that the kind of shit you're talking about?
No, this was like the programming language you had learned before you went and tried to program in C.
Yeah, no, I didn't fucking learn it. So I suck. Because my Lexia. I get 99 fucking lines of code and fucking 3,000 problems.
And if you want to play Gorillas without going through all of that trouble, here's a link for classic video games online.
I like said, Gross. This is the coding language that gave everyone bad code. That's probably why I like Python so much today, is because it's what I started with. Gave everyone bad coding habits. Well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, my wife does more coding than I do.
And Madman fed a link for playing Cubasic Gorillas online, because of course he did. So. Anyways, so I just thought this was awesome, and it was a great nostalgia trip because it didn't require, you know, actually building a computer from the 1980s or, you know, loading an image on a Raspi. So,
walking around, sniffing through directories, and it was more my shit, man. Getting all up in people's shit.
Oh, we all did that shit too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. But.
It was just fun to write a little program in QBasic to run the next time somebody logged into their machine to, you know, have it come up and, you know, look, say, look, I'm Da Vinci, because you just watched the hacker movie. And
there wasn't too many creative people in our fucking computer labs then. That's all I'm thinking. But this is ancient shit, man. Fuck, these screens were still green back then. There was no multicolored yet.
Ah, good old vacuum fluorescent displays. Yeah, text was fucking sharp on those, though. Tell you what.
That's what I remember in my computer labs at school. Everything was green. Green text on everything. But I didn't even know what machines they were. I didn't pay that much attention, to be honest. Then,
if they were all green, there were probably VT100 terminal emulators connected. Well, they weren't even emulators, just VT100 terminals connected over a serial link back to whatever computer was actually running the room in the back. But
that's showing my age.
Now, that said, I do remember getting my hands on a couple of machines that had the orange vacuum fluorescent displays. And that would be around the same age you were talking about. And
yeah,
those were fun because they always had so much text burning on the screen. You could see what people were doing before. So.
I fucking hated the computer lab back then.
The worst
class ever.
That was something that everybody always did, was they'd get into QBasic so they could load up Nibbles or Gorillas, because they came with the fucking thing as an example of how to write a game.
Oh, damn. I just blew myself up.
He's playing Gorillas.
The worst part about going to computer class and shit is the teacher didn't know dick about computers.
Oh, that was always fun when you had teachers who were scared of them because they were still new.
Yeah.
And you
don't break it.
Yeah.
I will never forget getting in trouble and talking to him in the hallway because I had the audacity to open Minesweeper on the school computer. Oh, my God.
Broke it.
It's like, well, you might know what you're doing, but the other students don't. They don't understand. But we were done with our stuff, and I was just goofing around in Minesweeper. Well, you don't understand what you're doing. Madman, I'll tell you the name of the teacher. You'll be like, yep.
Was she the sub they had teaching?
Oh no, this was one of the regular. This was the teacher who made Adam Cecil change schools.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. I just said that guy's name. And I'm trying to predict the name of the teacher. Well, it's a common enough name. Anyways, I'm going to close the show there because I apparently just doxed somebody by accident, right?
Nah. You narrowed down old. Gender.
Fuck.
An attack helicopter.
There you go. So that's all we got for tonight. Listen to the show. We're always... Yeah, oops. I'm drunk. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site. The subreddit. I still need to make a spot for IHN. Are you? What's the story with... Or Madman, are you? What's the story with IHN this weekend? Are we doing that? Are we skipping that? Do we know?
I should be doing it. Let me check. I got to put some work in today, but there should be a show on Saturday night.
If you're willing to do it a little late, I'll probably be able to swing it.
Yes,
we're calling it out of town this week, Madman.
Yeah, I'm going to be a family reunion Saturday.
Well, there's no IHN this week. Madman's out of town, so we're going to do it next week. Nah, dude, I'm not taking... I'm not going to bust my balls like last time. Yeah, it's a non-political show now. It's just about fucking stupid news stories.
I need to make it a spot on the site, and I just haven't done it. So,
I mean, if anyone's expecting it to be like old IHN, you're gonna be sadly mistaken. I don't get worried before the show anymore.
Well, we certainly don't have that Second Life audio quality anymore either.
Well. Dude, that was one of the big things about the show. It's fucking just before I go on air, and I absolutely shit myself about what people are about to say, because I had some of the most dangerous fucking minds on that show over the time, and some of the most corrupt fucking drug addict drunks as well. You never knew what was gonna happen.
That's the upside of living in a country where it doesn't matter what they say.
No, it was beautiful doing IHN like that back then. It's great, but you know what? Putting on the comfortable pajamas and not worrying about what's going to be said on the show and not even worrying whether I'm going to do it every week. It's fucking nice. You know what I mean? It's just nice.
Not have to worry about randoms wandering in going, hey, what's this?
Yeah, that too. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a comfy show now. It's no longer that stressful fucking, you know,
oh, no, no,
angry.
No, Psychros, the pants are still in the off position. We have an official thing we go through where we play a zipper sound and everything.
Yeah, so I mean, it's more over the top with the soundboard now. You know, let the engineer run with what he wants to run with. You know, it's fun. But, yeah, I don't want to do that edgy, dark shit anymore. That's a different time.
There's enough other people doing that shit.
Oh, dude, they're good. There are guys out there doing it much better than me. You know, and, yeah, go listen to them and make IHN a backup, because it ain't happening every week. If Madman's got something to do, go do it, Madman. Cool.
All right, well.
Means I don't have to worry about getting a lot of stories this week.
That's all I got for this week, so I'm going to start hitting sound buttons.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Now just go nose down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.
This gorilla's gonna fucking die.